Amen. 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 Well, today I'm going to be starting on a two-part message, and it's dealing with the life of Joseph, or Yosef, or as I affectionately like to call him, Yossi. And I'll be sharing part one today and part two tomorrow. Next week. You're all coming tomorrow, right? But anyway, to remind you, all the messages are online. That you can hear them if you miss one week or another. And if you're not going to be here next week, you'll be able to hear the second part of this. But this is entitled, Joseph the Messianic Precursor. Joseph the Messianic Precursor. And you're sitting there looking at me and saying, what you talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. You're going to ask me, and you're thinking in your minds, what is a Messianic Precursor? And what does this have to do with Joseph or Yosef, the son of Yaakov, the son of Jacob? Well, let me tell you, a precursor is one that precedes and indicates the approach of another. Did you get that? So a precursor is someone who comes before and leads you to or indicates someone else that's coming after. And with this thought in mind, today we're going to see how the life, and I'm going to call him Yosef now by his Hebrew name, how Yosef, the life of Yosef, closely parallels the life of Messiah Yeshua. And you know, this is not even a new thought or a new concept, because according to Jewish tradition over the last thousands of years, it's been taught that there are two messiahs who would come, who would arise in Israel. But it was not really two messiahs, but it's two types of a messiah. The first messiah to come was to be known as Mashiach ben Yosef. He was to come as the suffering servant, who would prepare the world for the coming of the kingdom of God. He was to be followed then by the Mashiach, or the Messiah ben David, the Messiah, the son of David, who would then be the kingly Messiah, who would rule and reign in power and majesty and authority and dominion throughout all the generations. However, when the Jewish people, when they think of the Messiah who's going to come, they don't picture a suffering Messiah, like a Messiah ben Yosef. They're not looking for, they're not picturing a suffering Messiah. They envision the Mashiach ben David, the Messiah, the son of David, a king who would rule and reign in the messianic age that was to come. And this is one of the reasons why the Jewish people had problems with Yeshua when he came 2,000 years ago. They weren't looking for a Messiah who would suffer and die. They were looking for a Messiah who would come in a white stallion with a sword in his hand, slashing left and slashing right and destroying the Roman Empire and all those who are coming against Israel and the kingdom of God. That's what they were looking for, not one who would come and suffer and die for his people. So there were those who missed the coming of Messiah. Now the scripture tells us that there were many who did recognize him through the scriptures, all the prophecies. But many were looking for a hero to come. But let me tell you what, Yeshua was a hero. And more than a hero, He was God Himself manifest in the flesh. Now, does the Tanakh, does the Scriptures, the Old Covenant Scriptures, give evidence of two Messiahs or just one? And is it possible that the portrayal of the Messiah as riding on a donkey, lowly and humble, as it talks about in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and the portrayal as one coming in the great triumph in the clouds, as it talks about in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, could these two very different scriptures, one dealing with a suffering, lowly servant, and one dealing with a reigning Messiah in the clouds, could they refer to the same person? Could they be referring to a Messiah, one Messiah? Could it be that one Messiah would come twice? First, as the Messiah ben Yosef to atone for the sins of Israel and also for the nations. Could he come as the suffering servant as it's portrayed in Isaiah chapter 53? And then come second time as Messiah ben David, ben David, to bring judgment upon the unjust and to restore the kingdom back to Israel? Now as we look at Yeshua, Yeshua as the Messiah ben Yosef, that suffering servant, did come first. And he did suffer. And he did die for the sins of Israel as well as for all the other nations and all peoples and all tribes and all tongues. And since his death, the Bet HaMikdash, the temple, has not been rebuilt, and there is no longer a sacrificial system in place for the atonement of sins, and Yeshua, as the Messiah, Mashiach ben David, the son of David, will come again to completely fulfill the messianic expectations of our Jewish people and to restore the temple and set up his kingdom here on earth. I believe this is something that we need to be looking toward and looking forward to, because it's going to happen. He's going to return. And he's going to set up his messianic kingdom. And he's going to restore all things and set up his kingdom on earth. Now, as I mentioned before about Yosef or Joseph, the messianic precursor, and how he relates and to Yeshua and Yeshua to him, the parallel there, I want to share that there are many fascinating parallels. In fact, there are more than 100 parallels, or that's another word, parallels, or similarities, how they seem alike between Yeshua and Joseph. Joseph being the beloved son of Yaakov or Jacob, and Yeshua being the beloved son of God, who would arrive on the stage of human history centuries later. Joseph ben Yaakov, Joseph the son of Jacob, is clearly a type and a pattern, a picture and a shadow of Yeshua HaMashiach ben Elohim, or Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of God. And he is a precursor who prophetically points us to the future. He comes before but points us to someone else, to the future, and he's pointing us toward Yeshua. So today, I want to just look at 18 parallels between Joseph and Yeshua. And we're going to explore how the life of Yosef, or Joseph, pictures the life of Yeshua. It's going to be hard for you to take all these notes down. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 18. Okay? So, if you missed it, those of you who are able to go onto the internet, or as my wife calls it, the interweb, if you're able to, you can hear and you can jot down some notes. But let's get started. There's 18 parallels. Number 1, miracle birth. Rachel was barren, as it says in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 2. And God miraculously opened up her womb, as we read in chapter 30 of Genesis, verse 22. And it says that she gave birth to Yosef, whose name means he shall add, or God has added to my life. But then we turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 18. And we read, here is how the birth of Yeshua, the Messiah, took place. When his mother, Miriam, was engaged to Yosef. Oh, another Yosef, huh? Before they were married, she was found to be pregnant or with child from the Ruach HaKodesh. Both miracle births and the way they came about. The second is parallel as beloved of the Father. Genesis chapter 37. And verse 3 says, now Israel, or Jacob, loved Yosef the most of all his children. He was his favorite child because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a long sleeve robe, or as we've heard, a coat of many colors. You've heard that story, right? But also in the parallel, we see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, where it says, a voice from heaven, which is known as the Bat Kol, translated as the daughter of the voice, but it's God's voice from heaven, said, this is my son whom I love. I am well pleased with him. We also see that during the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. So here we see there were both of them were beloved. Loved by their father more than anything. The third has to do with being a shepherd, a roeh, a shepherd. Now Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2 says that Yosef was a roeh. He was a shepherd. And Yeshua said in John chapter 10, in verse 11, he said that I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for a sheep. In Hebrew, it's haroeh hatov, that he is the good shepherd. So they both lived in that sense as a shepherd. Number 4, I called bad report. Remember in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 2, it says that Yosef, and when I say Yosef, I'm talking about Joseph, brought a bad report about his brothers, and he told his dad about them. Obviously, they were doing some bad things. They were lazy. They weren't doing their jobs. They were complainers, all different things. So he gave a bad report to them, to his father, about his brothers. And in John chapter 7, verse 7, in the Brit Chadashah, in the New Covenant, it says that the world can't hate you, but it does hate me, because I keep telling it how wicked its ways are. And they were both hated by their brothers, number 5, because of what they said. How they lived. In Genesis chapter 37, in verse 4 and 5, it says, when his brothers saw that their father, Jacob, loved him more than all his brothers, they began to hate him. And they reached the point where they couldn't even talk with him in a civil manner. And it says that Yosef had a dream, which he told his brothers, and that made them hate him all the more, hated by his brothers. But Yeshua said in John 15:25, but this has happened in order to fulfill the words in their Torah, which read, they hated me for no reason at all. This is also quoted from Psalm 35:19 and Psalm 69:4. They hated me for no reason at all. Hated by his brothers, the brothers of his flesh. And number six, brothers refused his rule. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 8, it says that his brothers retorted, yes, you will certainly be our king. You'll do a great job of bossing us around. And they hated him still more for his dreams and for what he said. And in Luke, in the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, chapter 19 and verse 14, it says, but his countrymen hated him. These are his brothers of his flesh. His countrymen hated him. And they sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to rule over us. Just as his Joseph's brother said, will you rule over us? And there was jealousy, number seven. Jealous. Genesis 37, verse 11 says that his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept this matter in mind. He pondered these things. And in Mark chapter 15 and verse 10, we read, for it was evident to him that it was out of jealousy that the head Kohanim, that the priest, had handed him over. Both handed over by his brothers. Number eight, there was a plot. They plotted against him. And we read in Genesis chapter 37, verse 18, it says that they spotted him in a distance. And before he had arrived where they were, they had already plotted to kill him. Joseph's brothers were going to murder him and kill him because of jealousy. And Matthew 27, verse 1 says that early in the morning, all the head Kohanim, the priests, and the elders, they met to plan how to bring about Yeshua's death. And then we come to 9, stripped and mocked. We see in Genesis chapter 37, Yosef's brothers stripped him of his tunic and they mocked him. Will you rule over us? Will you be our king? They took away his coat that his father Jacob gave him, the special robe, and they mocked him. And we read in Matthew 27, verse 28 through 31, concerning our Messiah and our king. It says they stripped him. They stripped Yeshua of his clothes and they put on him a scarlet robe, wove thorn branches into a crown and put it upon his head. And they put a stick in his right hand and they kneeled down in front of him and made fun of him. They mocked him. And they said, hail to the King of the Jews! Hail to the King of the Jews! And they spit on him. And they used a stick to beat him about the head. And when they had finished ridiculing him, they took off his robe and they put his clothes back on him. And they led him away to be nailed to the tree, to that execution stake. Interestingly, that both Yosef and Yeshua were both sold for silver. in Genesis 37. This is number 10. Sold for silver. In Genesis 37, verse 28, it says that Yosef was sold for 20 shekels of silver. He was in the pit. They had thrown him in a pit. If it wasn't for one of his other brothers saving him, he would have surely died. But they saw the caravan of Ishmaelite traders. Or traders? Or what do you call them? A caravan. And they sold Yosef for 20 pieces of silver. In Matthew 26, verse 15, we read, "What are you willing to give me?" This is Judas. Judah. "What are you willing to give me if I turn Yeshua over to you?" And they counted out 30 silver coins and gave them to Yehuda, gave them to Judah. Sold out. One by his brothers. Well, both sold out by their brothers. And then they were both taken to Egypt in number 11. It says in Genesis 37, 28, that Yosef was taken to Egypt to avoid being killed. The caravan of traders, they took him to the land of Egypt that they may sell him. So this is how Yosef got to Egypt. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, we read, "After they had gone, an angel of Adonai appeared to Yosef," this is the father of Yeshua, "in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I leave you. Or I tell you to leave, for Herod is going to look for the child in order to kill him.'" Both were sent to Egypt that their lives would be spared. Number 12 is slave to man. Genesis 39:1 says that Yosef was brought down to the land of Mitzrayim, the land of Egypt, and he became a slave in the household of Potiphar. But we also read concerning Yeshua. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. It says, and this is speaking of Yeshua, "Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be possessed by force. On the contrary, he emptied himself, in that he took the form of a slave by becoming like human beings. And when he appeared as a human being, he humbled himself still more by becoming obedient even to death, even death on a stake as a criminal." One a slave in Egypt, one a slave to us, that we might live through his death and his obedience upon that tree. A trusted overseer, number 13. Genesis 39:4 says that Yosef pleased him. He pleased his master Potiphar as he served him, and his master appointed him manager over his household, overseer. He trusted him over all his possessions, everything to Yosef. Then we go to John chapter 3, verse 35, and it says that the Father loves the Son and He has put everything in His hands. Matthew 28:18 says also that Yeshua came and talked with them, and He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The parallel there. All authority to Yosef, all authority to Yeshua. And Yosef became ruler over all of Egypt, second to Pharaoh. And Yeshua became ruler over sin and death and conquered it. And he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And they both resisted temptation in 14. Genesis 39:7 through 10 tells us that Yosef was tempted, but he did not sin. Day after day, Potiphar's wife would come to him because it says that Yosef, that Yossi was so good looking. I understand that. Yeah. And the wife of Potiphar would come every day and said, "Sleep with me, sleep with me." She burned with lust for Joseph. But Yosef kept saying, "No, I cannot do such a thing. My master has entrusted everything in his household to me except his wife. This would not be right. This would be sin." And he refused her day after day, resisted that temptation. But then we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, where it says, "For we do not have a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, unable to sympathize or empathize with our weakness, since in every respect he was tempted just like you and I are tempted. The only difference being that he did not sin." Yeshua was tempted as well, yet he did not sin. And for the crazy myth that is out there that Yeshua married or had relations with Mary Magdalene and they had children and all that, that's crazy stuff. That's crazy. Don't believe that stuff. It's in the movies. It's in books. And all that. It's not true. He lived a sinless life before God. And because of that, he could stand in our place and die for our sins. Thank you, Lord. Number 15, filled with the Ruach, filled with the Spirit. And concerning Yosef, Genesis 41, verses 38 through 39 tells us that the Spirit of God lives in him. There is no one as discerning, as wise as you. The Spirit lived in Yosef, and God gave him wisdom and discernment. And he could interpret dreams, and God gave him the wisdom that led to the point where he ruled over Egypt and not only saved Egypt from the 7 years of famine, but saved all the world. He saved his whole family. And then brought them all to Egypt. And that's how our people got to Egypt. Full of the Spirit. And Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says that God anointed Yeshua from Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh and with power. Public ministry, number 16. A Kohen, a priest, began his ministry at the age of 30. Genesis 41 through 46 says that Yosef was 30 years old when he stood before the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Then he left Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout all the land of Egypt. At 30, he began his rule only under Pharaoh over Egypt. And we read in Luke 3:23, Yeshua was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry, but not in the priesthood, not in the Levitical priesthood, but in the priesthood of Melchizedek. And God had made him unique and established a new way and a new order. The bread of life, number 17. God used Yosef to become a bread giver, to preserve a remnant upon the earth. Remember, he told Pharaoh about the dream that Pharaoh had. And he interpreted and said, "Pharaoh," and he used, there was these 7 fat cows. Don't be laughing now. 7 fat cows. And then there were these 7 skinny, skinny, ugly looking cows. And then there are these stalks of wheat, abundant 7 stalks of wheat coming out of like one stalk. And then there were these shriveled up, dried out sheaves. And Yosef interpreted it that there were going to be 7 years of abundance in the land of Egypt and then 7 years of great famine. And he told Pharaoh For 7 years, we need to store up a percentage of the grain all over Egypt so that at the end of 7 years when the famine came, that there would be bread. And he saved up all the grain for those 7 years. And because of that, he preserved a remnant upon earth. He saved all Egypt and all Israel, all the nations. He was a bread of life. And Yeshua said in John 6:35, I am the bread which is life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever trusts in me will never be thirsty. He was the bread of life that came down from heaven that a man could eat of and never be hungry again. And the last one that we're going to conclude with this today, revealed to his brothers. In Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15, after testing his brothers, and I listened to these this week on the scriptures. I listened as I'm driving. Genesis 45, 1 through 15, after testing his brothers to see if they truly underwent what's known as teshuva, or repentance for what they did, we read that Yosef finally revealed himself to his brother as Israel's Savior. Boy, when I was listening to that, it's a dramatized Bible I have. Listening to it, oh, I could just picture that, the tears being shed. And it said that Yosef cried out so loud that all Pharaoh's household and all those around heard him mourning and weeping and crying as he was about to, as he was going to reveal himself to his brothers as the one who saved them. And throughout the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant of Scripture, Yeshua revealed himself to Israel, his brothers, as their Savior, as their Redeemer, as the Messiah and God. However, many of his brothers in the flesh did not receive him, but many did. And as we approach the end of the age, and we're coming closer and closer to it, I don't know the day, the hour, the time, the minute, the week, the year, but I believe we're in that time period. I know he's coming back. He's coming back for a people who are holy and pure and clean in his sight. And Yeshua is going to reveal himself to his brothers of the flesh, the Jewish people. He will reveal himself when he returns. And they will see when he comes to Israel and he steps upon Mount Zion and he shows them the piercings in his wrists and the piercings in his feet. They will recognize him as the one that was prophesied in the Bible. They will recognize him as the Messiah ben Yosef, the one who suffered and the one who died for his people. He's going to reveal himself to his brothers again. And that's why we here, we exist as a messianic congregation, because we want to see Yeshua revealed to his brothers of the flesh, to the Jewish people. And I want you all to be part of this, to see, as Rosh Hashanah, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 11, then all Israel shall be saved. That needs to be our desire and hope, because Yeshua is Jewish people, and the Jewish people are his brothers. That doesn't negate who the rest, all the other nations are received as well. But salvation came of the Jewish people. And Yeshua is coming back to restore the Jewish people. And many other things. And many other rest of the nations will also come into this faith. But it comes through the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And we can all play a part in this end time plan. So I encourage you to be praying for the Jewish people, praying for the nation of Israel, praying what you can do, what your role is, what God wants you to do to bring about, to help to bring about these things, that all Israel shall be saved. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I thank you, Lord, for these people that you have brought here. I pray, Lord, that you would speak into every life.